Hello，
Hello，
Hello, everyone. Hello. You can hear me. I had to reset my headset, which is never a good thing to do right before an online meeting.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
Hi.
Susan.
Nice to see everyone.
Did you have a relaxing vacation?
Did. It was very disjointed. I didn't really go anywhere far
Oh.
or for long, but I did a lot of little things. I went camping 3 times in
Oh.
3 different states. It was good.
Great.
How about you?
I had a lovely time. Yeah, went away for 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah. So people are joining slowly.
Yes. Do you think we've lost lots of folks to August vacations? I'm not sure what the pattern is. It's different.
Swedish people must be back.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
Oh.
We're getting close to the last hurrah in some parts of the state, depending on where you are. Because in some places, school starts after Labor Day, and others it start, which is the beginning of September, and others it is in a week or so. Nobody's already started, right? Some places in the South start very early.
No, but University of Chicago doesn't start until the first week of October.
No. Are you on a
September 29th.
trimester
Quarter.
thing? Quarter.
Yeah,
Okay.
quarter system. 9 weeks of class.
So weird.
Very bizarre.
Right. Well, we should we get started? I am just back, so I am not in touch with what's happening. Although I
Yeah.
thank you, Cornelia, for putting in the getting us an agenda item for today. Do we have any things to discuss before we hand it to Martina that you're aware of?
No, I'm still catching up as well.
Everyone's catching up. What is our plan? Yeah, so Cornelia and I've been back in the office for 3 hours. And so still have 13 unread emails out of 500. So I'm feeling good, but n don't know, I haven't covered a lot of what's gone on in Slack yet. So do we have an agenda for Thursday? Thursday or no that you're aware of, Cornelia?
No, not yet.
Okay.
We could, if nothing comes up, we could meet and plan the next few weeks.
All
Two
right,
of
well,
us.
let's touch
Yeah.
base in the next couple of days, and we will
Yes.
post on Slack what the plan will be. All right. Any other announcements or anything from anyone before we hand it over to talk about number generators for user barcodes? All right, then I will hand it to you, Martina, to talk to us about our topic today.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for this agenda slot. I'm Martina Tumula. I'm working at HPZ, a publicly funded library service center. We are located in Cologne, Germany. And I would like to tell you a little bit about the number generator functionality for user barcode, how to set up sequences. I would like to talk a little bit about precondition for using it, and of course, using the number generator in the user's app as well. So let me just share my screen. Just a second. Okay, I hope you do see Folio and you do see the drop down. Of the, oh, perfect. Sometimes it's not showing. Okay, thank you. So let me start with a little bit of information around this project. So this project of number generators is funded by the University Library of Leipzig. KInt did the development, and Leipzig did then at the end the integration in the apps. So, what are we talking about for this project? We are talking about for inventory, accession number, call number, and item barcode. These number generators are available in receiving as well. And we are talking about the code in organizations. Those four are in Sunflower already. And today's topic, of course, is the barcode in users. Down here. So this will be for Trillium, as well as the item barcode in FastAd. So this is what our little project is all about. You do see two more here, open access and serial management. They use this approach of the number generators as well, but slightly differently. They have only one sequence, they are automatically assigned, and it's more like an ID as a request number, pattern number. While the five others I've mentioned before, you do have the choice of selecting one sequence out of many if you would like to. So I share the screen of setting service interaction. So, what is service interaction? This is a place where hopefully, in the future, a lot of functionality these have settings. You only see one number generator right now. We're starting with this, but the back end of service interaction is used by the dashboard, for example. But the dashboard did not need settings in settings, so you only see number generators. And we do have two items here, two menu items. One is the generators. So in this overview, in this table, you see those generators which are using this approach of number generators. We do have others, other generators in Folio, but this is a different approach here. And what's wonderful about this overview is that you can see how many sequences there are for each of those number generators. For example, user barcode 8 or item barcode 2. So this is, of course, snapshot. It's Eureka snapshot. And you know that those entries will disappear. So these are only examples. And so this is the overview of the number generators. And now I switch to the sequences. So what is a sequence? A sequence is an incremental number, an increasing number, with prefix and suffix, for example, if you would like, and for barcodes, probably as a use case as well, check digits, example. So those are the sequences. And all of the sequences for all the number generators I've shown in the table before are managed here in Service Interaction. So the first thing you would do is to select the generator you would like to manage your sequences. For example, user barcode in users. So this is. Of course, you would, if you start, there probably is one example maybe from ref data, but you start with a fresh page and you would go to new and define your sequences. Instead of going here, I can show you this is a modal comes up and you would then define your sequences. I would go into one of those examples here. So it's all shown in one table. Eight examples are in there right now. And if you click on the name here in the table, then you get the fourth pane with all the detail already filled in. And we do have the actions here on top, the actions menu, and you see edit and delete. So I go into edit mode, and this is the same window, but of course, has one example already in it. So the first field is the name, and the name is important because you will search by name with it in the user app, for example, if you would like to select a sequence, if you have more than one sequence, for example. You don't have to have one more than one, but at least you need one. This is one precondition. You need one, at least one sequence. But you could have, for example, one for external users, one for a different patron group, one for staff, probably maybe one for temporarily barcodes. So there are use cases for several of those sequences. So the name you would search, this is an example of a seven-digit number. So it is a name here, seven digits. And the second field is the code. So you see it's deactivated already. So I gave a code, in this time a seven, but it could be longer, it could be characters as well. It doesn't You don't have to do white spaces, so it needs to be together. But so one set, you cannot change it because the code is the identifier of the sequence. So and we need the code to connect from the apps in the back end and so on. You do have those little information icons here, and you can hopefully those help text will help you understand those fields as well. The next one, we do have a little checkbox here. It's enabled, so it's active. You can disable sequences, so I always say it, then they are frozen. You cannot select them. You cannot search for them in the users app, for example. I will show you later on. But you can enable them again, and then they will continue counting. So they were frozen and continue counting. Well, at least if they are not at their maximum. So, but there's the functionality of disable and enable sequences. In the action menus here, we do have the delete options. So you have the option of deleting sequences and of disable sequences. There are use cases for both, but if you are in doubt, then I would recommend to disable them first. You can always delete them afterwards. And of course, we do have a note field. And that I will go, but I will go straightly to the sequence settings. So sequence settings, those are four fields, and you don't usually they are not mandatory, but you are welcome to use the maximum value. And the maximum value field actually defines the length of the incremental number. In this case, it is seven digits long, and then. It will stop counting when the sequence is at this maximum value. and you cannot generate numbers anymore from this sequence. When you choose to use a maximum value, then you need to fill in the format field. That's why this asterisk is here and it's mandatory. The format field is for padding numbers, like the zeros in front. So usually in barcodes, you would use the zeros in front because you would like to have the same amount of digits for a barcode number. But maybe if you look to call numbers or others, you don't want to have leading zeros. So then you would use the hash sign, the number sign, in this case, seven number signs. And then you don't have the leading zeros in front. Then we have a nice, wonderful functionality of the warning threshold value. You see, it's a little bit below the maximum value. So when the sequence reaches this value here, then you get little warnings so that you know that the sequence is almost at its end and you need maybe a different solution, maybe a new sequence or other things. And if you don't have to use this functionality, but if you would like to, then you get little warnings and you get little call outs when you use, for example, this functionality in user for the user barcode. The fourth field is the next value field. This is actually usually you start with one, but you can use this as a starting point if you have already used some numbers, for example, and you would like to continue counting. You can start. Or you can use this as a starting point. In this example, I put it a very high next value in it. So the next number, which is generated from this sequence, is actually this number in the next value. And you do see that this is higher than the warning threshold, and we will see later on some warnings there and some hints. I would skip the checksum settings for now. I will have other examples where it is better to explain it to you. So I go right to the output settings, and the output settings is the field where you define your generated number and how it looks like in the display. So you do see a little token here. This is the generated number. So this is the increasing incremental number. So in this case, the next value. And you could, for example, have some prefix or suffix here as well. So this is for the output template, how it will look like then in the user barcode. So this was an easier example without check digit and without prefix and suffix to show you that this could be one example, for example, to just have an incremental number. And I will show you some more examples now, especially for the check digits. So I go into edit mode again. I have a different use case here. You do see now the next value is 6 digits long. The whole maximum value is 8 digits long in this case. So we will have two leading zeros in front of the next value. So to explain this a little bit more. Now the checksum settings. So if you would like to have a check digit, you can choose one out of six different methods. In this case, loon is already selected, and loon probably the most popular or the best known. So, and you know, those methods differ in weight, in direction, so right to left or left to right, in the calculation of mod 10 or mod 11, how you calculate your remainder, for example. So there are different methods integrated here. And then we do have an input template, and this is only for the calculation. So usually you have the next value, so the incremental number. So in this case, the 0, 0 and the next value. This is the token. But if you would like to have a prefix, in this case, very long prefix, and this needs to be included in the calculation so that loon or the method of loon is calculated for the check digit over the whole number, prefix and the incremental number, then you can include those numbers here in the input template. So in this case, it would be a 2 for a user barcode, for example, and then it could be like a library number, for example. And then, so the input template is only for calculation purposes, and the output template is for generating the number and the display then. So you need to repeat your prefix here. Then you have the token of the incremental number. And of course, if you choose the method and the input template, you would like the check digit being displayed. And there you have another token, which is called checksum. So this is an example for using one out of six methods here for a check digit, for example. And we can take a look at maybe this one. So I will show you here in the detailed mode. Here you have a prefix and a suffix, for example, included in the calculation, and then in the output template as well. And then, of course, the check digit. Or maybe this one, which has only the incremental number in the calculation with no prefixes or suffix. And the structure for this is a little bit different. So we are very flexible. So generated number, the incremental number, the check digit, and a suffix, for example, in this case. So only to show you several examples and show you the flexibility of our output template here. So then I will explain a little bit more about the number generator sequences and this table. Of course, we only have 8 examples here, and you probably won't need to search, but you could search. And if you think about call numbers, you could have a lot of call numbers with incremental numbers. We do have a pagination of 25 here, and so you probably then would need a search, and you can search the name field, the code field, for example, the node field, and the output template. You can then see your result or the number of your results here in this result, 8 found in this case, all of them. And we do have 2 filters. A filter is this enabled, true and false. I will go to false. So you see, I have there an example as a deactivated disabled one. Go back. And then we do have filters for the usage status. And this are the little warnings I talked about. If you use this threshold limit, then you see that this one, for example, is at maximum. You cannot select it anymore since there are no numbers left. This is near at the end, over threshold. This was the example I showed you with near. So, and below threshold. You don't need to use those fields. Then they will be empty here in this table. As mentioned, then if you would like to go to the detailed pane, you would click on the name, and of course you can sort here as well. So this is precondition one. You need at least one sequence to use it. Precondition two would be that you go to the settings users, number generator options, to enable the number generator. So by default, it's off, so it won't disturb you if you don't use it. So you need to enable it, and we do have 2 options here. One is on, field editable. That means you're very flexible. You can type in manually, you can use the number generator, you can add to the number, you can delete part of numbers, you're very flexible. And the other one, field not editable, is you can only use the number generator. You cannot change the number. You can use the number generator again. So I will go first on the field editable, and of course you need to save. And this enabling you will only do once. If you don't want to change your settings here, so once you enabled it, so this is precondition two, and precondition three are permissions or capability sets. So I go into users now, and of course you need the regular, the appropriate user permissions to create, to edit the users, right? And in addition, you need one permission to use the sequences. And this is all explained in the official documentation website, docsfolio.org, or in the Folio Wiki, which permission or capability set nowadays you need to assign. And now we are in create users, and you do see a wonderful button below the barcode, and you can click on it, and then you get a window with a search box and six out of our eight examples. Two are missing. One, it was the deactivated, the disabled, and you cannot search for it. It's hidden. The other one was one at maximum. And since you cannot select it because it's at maximum, it's hidden here as well. But if you choose this little checkbox here down below, then you can display them. The use case is, for example, well, I used this sequence 2 weeks ago and now I cannot find it. Why? Well, in the meantime, it's at maximum, so I cannot select it, but so I can search for it at maximum. So this was the use case behind this little checkbox. And the other checkbox is the exact code match. That means the code, you can search the exact code. For example, here, if you would like to do this, was a requirement of several libraries. So they would like to search via the code. So I go back here, and you can always, your selection, you can always click here the little X there as well. So in bold, you have the name where you can search. Then next to it, it's the code, then the next value, and those little hints here over threshold at maximum. And now we could you select one sequence, and we can generate a user barcode, and then it will be inserted into the barcode field. And since we choose the field editable, then you can add, it doesn't make sense now, but to show you the different the difference, you can add, for example. And this is the example where we had the long prefix, the two leading zeros, then the incremental number, and the two at the end, it's the check digits. And of course, you need to do all those mandatory fields here. So I hope I got everyone, every field there. And you need to save and close to store the number. If you don't store your record, then a gap will be produced. You always need to store the record. So you see the barcode number is inserted here and stored. Now I'm talking about barcode numbers. I'm not talking about images. So this is out of scope. So we generate a barcode number. So we'll go back to the settings again and the user settings, and I will choose the field, the second one, the field not editable, and I save. Go back to users. We'll create a new user to show you, and now it's deactivated. So you cannot type in manually, but you can use the number generator. And maybe we can choose this one. This was the first example I showed you. And you get a little warning here that it's approaching at maximum value, for example. And then you see the next value here in this field, but you cannot add. Of course, you need to save and close, but I will just cancel it for now. So I will go. We'll show you another feature for which is probably a use case in resource access. I will go into service interaction again, number generator sequences, and I will select the other barcode, the item barcode here. I only have two examples here, and we need, of course, to enable the barcode, item barcode number generator, and save and close. So I will go into checkout and a new fast add record. And then you see a generated barcode button below the item barcode, and you can actually generate here an item barcode. Maybe a temporarily one, since this is the use case if the book does not have a record yet and you would like to check it out and you need a barcode as well as a user barcode and an item barcode, you can actually generate one here if you would like. So this is another barcode, another number generator. So close with that saving. So I hope I did not forget anything, but I will go again into users, into new. There is, of course, a use case where you can actually assign a user barcode number with the number generator. If you, for example, don't have library cards, we do have a use case there. It's a smaller library. They don't have barcodes. They do checkouts via the patron lookup. Right now, as a workaround, they will create a user, save and close. They will then take the folio number, which is unique, go back into the record, copy them into the barcode field, and then they have a barcode unique number. And then they can check out via the patron lookup. Since then, the patron has a barcode number. So, and instead of that, in future, they could use the number generator to assign a unique barcode number here as well. So that's just a use case from our side. So I'm so sorry, I did not pay attention at the chat. So, is there anything, or do you have questions, feedback? Can I explain more detail? Let me know.
Is this currently in what version is it currently active in a live version, a production version, or what's the
No, not.
state of it?
This is the state. This will come for Trillium, so for the next release.
Okay.
And you but it's already there. You can test it in the snapshot, Eureka snapshot, and the Okapi snapshot. So you can, if you would like to test and give me feedback, you're more than welcome to do so. So for Trillium, both. So user and fast add is for Trillium. The others are in Sunflower. So receiving and inventory and organizations.
Great.
It looks really great.
It does. It looks really interesting.
Yeah,
I
thank
think
you.
for folks that can
And
use it, looks like you've thought through a lot of, as I was thinking of questions
yes.
as you were going along, you answered the questions as you
Oh,
went along.
that's good.
One thing I was curious about is in the settings, as you add a new or as you generate a new barcode, is that number iterating So you made that one user barcode and saved. Would that next barcode in the settings show as the next iterated, like the
Yeah,
next one in the sequence?
the next value is increasing, like so it always shows the next number for the next number if you choose this
Gotcha.
sequence. So in the
Gotcha.
end, you can use the table. So this one here, just a second. You can use the next value table here. Oh, yeah, this is, we had the seven at the end. Now it's at the eight.
Right, even though you didn't save it, and that's how you said you'd have a gap.
Yeah,
If you generate the
exactly.
number, that iterates
Yeah.
the sequence, even if you don't save. That's
Yes.
good to know. Okay.
Because, well, it's very complex to do a gap management, and a lot of software does not have gap management there, including our Jira, FolioJira. You can produce gaps there as well in the number. So it's always it's good to know, as you said, that you need to save the number.
Well, this looks really very good. Do other folks have thoughts, questions?
And if there are later on, if you have questions or feedback, please get in touch via the Slack, for example. So maybe you would like to test it, and then there are questions. Okay, so then thank you so much for your time. I
Thank
will
you, Martina. That was really great.
stop sharing.
I appreciate your time also showing us how this will work.
Yes, I've know you've been work I know you've been working on this for a long time, and it has come up as a really well thought and round feature. It looks really good.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, it took us a long time, but finally it's here. So
Right. Are there any other questions for Martina? All right. Are there any other items for discussion?
yes, I've read a bit through Slack, and I've come across a question from Tom, who was asking about some feature, and he didn't get an answer. So just a quick question, if anyone of you has read this. On July 30, he asked, is this still a needed feature? What was it? A warning modal when checking out an item with item status order closed. I don't know if we can answer this here. Yeah, when you check in an item or check out an item with item status order closed, there must have been some really weird error.
I didn't even
Right?
know there was an item status order call. I mean, it sounds like it would have been a status that was inherited from the order record,
Yes, it's when
right? I
you
mean, there's
and when
this,
you
when you receive things, like there are things that automate on the, that automatically change the item status. It's not an item status that you can select, certainly.
No, it's when you have an order that doesn't get fulfilled, so you never receive it, but you have to cancel or whatever. So you can't have an item that ha with this item status unless something really bad happened on
And
the
then,
way.
how would it end up with a barcode and an ability to check out? This feels like a real
This is
edge case.
so I'm not sure if this ever could happen, but this it was if I understand this correctly, Steph would want to know if this ever happened, but yeah, really don't know how it could. Are
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not
any?
even sure that that item's status exists. Does it? I mean, I've literally never seen it, so I'm not.
It does, but it shouldn't come up in checkout ever. But yeah. So, do we have any opinions if this should be closed or should we take this into the next meeting?
How old is this? Oh, it doesn't. It was created not that long ago. It was 2022. So that's why it was not reviewed as part of our 5 year or 4 year old.
Yes.
It still seems pretty edge casey. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's something we would need, but it's hard to say. Are there other anyone have any feelings about this? Or has anyone ever seen this item status?
It does exist.
It does?
It does. Yeah.
I don't even know how one would find it.
Oh, you can filter in
All right.
inventory. See
Oh,
if you.
yeah. Oh, we have
Yeah.
132 items with order closed in the five colleges. Okay.
Yeah. See, you have it. And if
Going.
someone by mistake adds a barcode to any of them, but it shouldn't happen, but you never know.
Yeah, they don't have, that's right. They don't have barcodes. That is the catch. I feel like, I don't know. I think this could be closed, but I am open to other ideas.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that as well, because to me it seems like it's something about the order was closed, but there was no item received with a barcode added. But when someone shows up at the circulation desk with an item that has a barcode that is correctly entered into folio and can be checked out, the checkout procedure would simply reset the item status to on loan. And for me, that seems to be the logical thing to happen when an item, a physical item, is there with a barcode. It sounds odd. Yeah.
But it shouldn't it be an item that is, I don't know, it feels sort of like, wouldn't that item status not check out? I mean, and that, I guess that is this is just asking for an error message, because does it fulfill the loan if you did it right now? Like if you attempt, I'm trying to find one, I'd have to give it a barcode because I can't find any that actually have
As
barcodes.
far
Yeah, I
as
think
I'm.
that would be the question, is whether the whether and what are the implications? Like, is there something that needs to be triggered in the order as well? If it turns out like it was closed, I mean, something has gone wrong, and like multiple things have had to go wrong before you get to the idea of there being an item record with the status of order closed, but it got a barcode.
Yeah.
I could see, well, I could see shelf ready stuff though. Right, where the vendor is providing the barcode, but then you're not really, maybe you never received it for whatever reason. So I
That.
think it would mainly be a question of like, do you need it to throw an error message and not allow you to check it out because you need to route the thing to your ordering staff to fix something before it can be, you know, so that that doesn't, so that that part doesn't get missed. I mean, it would be great if Folio could just send a message, right? Like,
Right.
hey, staff who need to know about this. We just checked out this thing that you said was order closed. Maybe you should take a look at that order. But I don't know enough about that side of the process to know.
Yeah, it seems like such an edge case that maybe it doesn't need to be required.
Yeah. It's hard to say if just is just such a low priority that it
Yeah.
doesn't get done ever, or if it should just close it.
What if we
Can I get a link to
flag
the
it with the RA intended to close, and then we can put it out there, and if somebody's like, this happens to us all the time, I don't know.
Yeah. But no one answered to talk,
No.
but maybe everyone was away.
Yeah.
David, sorry, you
No.
wanted to
Yeah.
say
No,
something.
just yeah, if we I was just hoping to get a link, 'cause I need to look, I should look at the ticket. We do have 1956 records with an order closed, but I'm not going to go through right now and see if any of them have markets. So far, the handful that I've clicked on do not, so that all makes sense.
Yeah.
Perfect, thank you. Just lets me look at it without having to dig.
Yeah, I tried to test it out as
Sorry.
well, and of course, in our test environment, I didn't have my calendar didn't go out far, of course. Because that's always the way it is when you're trying to just fix something quickly or test something quickly.
Okay. I mean, yeah, Tom said, let me check with our ASIC on this, and no one answered, so maybe he will bring it back to the next meeting anyway, so we can just ignore it for now. It's yeah, it must be frustrating if you don't get any answer at all. So I thought I'd bring it up.
Or that if it does check something out, that I think would be the biggest problem, right? Is that if it actually is fulfilling this checkout and it's broken on the back end, I don't know.
Yeah, which it seems like it is. I mean, that's what the ticket is claiming. But
Yeah.
again, yeah, unless I had one with a barcode, how would I know?
Yeah, and I have yet to find any that have a barcode. So there's that.
Yeah,
I think
so
that is some indication of there it not being that
yeah.
a big deal. So
Shouldn't happen. That should really shouldn't happen.
oh, I just found one. This is old. Well, because we have our old system had a couple of systems ago, we had a system that required us to have dummy barcodes for order on order items.
Oh.
So we added the order number, like a version of the order number, into the item barcode field. So there is, I do actually have one. So now I'm going to go into test.
But
Is that it?
it's not that it exists physically, yeah.
Yeah, it does not exist physically. So I mean, this is even like I'm just saying, like, I can at least test
Yeah.
whether or not
Yeah.
you can even do it. You still shouldn't be able to have one in a normal world. It does totally let you just check it out with no warning or anything. So it is accurate that is the behavior reported in the ticket is real. And apparently it is possible to get something into a status of order closed while still having a value in the barcode field. Practically speaking, how often is that going to happen in the real world?
Seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
And if the order, I mean, if it's got the wrong status, you still kind of would want it to check out to the user, right? Like if they've got a book in hand and it is
Yeah.
circulating and somehow got the wrong status, like maybe it should just check out.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like an administrative problem that you don't need to bother your person with. They got the thing in hand and it'll just go back to available.
Yeah,
And
that's
maybe
why
you
I
got it
was
for
like,
free because you didn't pay the order. I don't know.
yeah. That's why I was like, wouldn't it be great if it just sent someone a message saying, by the way, this thing had order closed, but we checked it out. You might want to look into that order.
I think we
But
should
yeah, this
close
seems like a
this.
real, real edge case. I can't imagine
No.
anyone spending any time on this
We've
in.
already spent more time than we should have on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. So we could give an answer to Tom. Say, oh, A few of us agreed
Yep.
to close
We
this
discussed
with,
this. We think it should be closed. It's such an edge case.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. All right. Any other thoughts? Cornelia, if you stay on for a minute, we can set up a time to meet.
Yes, okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week. And we will let you know on Slack about Thursday.
Thanks, bye.
Take
Bye.
care.
Bye. So,
Can you stop recording?
yes.